We are continuing our studies in the end times. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. We'll read these verses before we move into the ministry of the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. This is the third message of on the end times. And the last time I spoke, I asked two questions. If you weren't here last time, then can I encourage you to... The messages are on our podcast, on our website, and the video is on there. Do avail yourself of looking up where what we've spoken about recently. I asked two questions, and the questions were these: who will come, and where will he come to? We answered those two questions last time. Who will come, and where will he come to? Today I want to ask a further two questions, and they're these: how will he come, and when will he come? When we are talking about someone coming, we are talking about the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Alan has said to us this morning, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. His promise was, I will come again. Thank God, friends, the day is coming when Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. I've entitled what I want to share with you this morning, If Only We Knew. If Only We Knew. How will he come, and when will he come? Well, how will he come? We can know how he will come, because the Bible tells us how Christ will come again. His second coming will be very much like his first going. When Jesus went from this earth, he went, the Bible says, in clouds, and he was lifted up from the disciples. The Bible says this same Jesus will so come in like manner as you've seen him go. His second coming will be like his first going, but it will be completely different from his first coming. In other words, his second coming will be a reverse of his ascension. Can you remember his ascension? He led them out to the Mount of Olives. And as he was talking to them, the Bible says he was parted from them. And a cloud, they watched him as he ascended into heaven. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And two angels came and stood by those men who were gazing into the heavens and said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. So he went in the clouds, and the Bible tells us he will come back to the clouds. However, friends, other aspects of his return will be quite different. For instance, only two angels appeared at his ascension. When Christ returns, there will be billions of people who will witness the coming again of Christ. The Bible tells us in Matthew 25 that when he comes, he will bring with him all his holy angels. So heaven will be emptied. Bless God. All the angels of God will return with Jesus. It also tells us that he will gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. And in 1 Corinthians we read what will happen. We will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the dead in Christ will rise. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So we know that the elect, those who are alive, will be with him when he comes again. Thessalonians also tells us that those who sleep in Jesus, every saint who has died, God will bring with him. So we know, friends, that when Christ comes again, his coming again will be accompanied by angels, with the resurrected, raptured saints, and with those who died down the ages. They will return with the Lord. Only a handful of apostles and believers saw him go. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 6 tells us about 500 saw him at one time after his resurrection. I believe that that was when he led them out to the Mount of Olives and he ascended back into heaven. I believe about 500 saw him at that time. When Jesus comes again, billions will accompany him and back. And the Bible says every eye will see him. At his ascension, we see Jesus ascending in the clouds. In many ways, his return from heaven, as far as earth will be concerned, will be quiet. When the rapture takes place, as we talked about last time, the Bible says we will be caught up together to meet the Lord, where? In the air. In the clouds. Above the clouds. We know that vast expanse of space above the clouds over Jerusalem will be the meeting place, the gathering place of the saints down through the ages and those who have been just translated from the earth. We will meet him in the air. And the Bible says we shall forever be with the Lord. Above the clouds. So earth doesn't know what's happening. The meeting will be above the clouds. However, when he returns to earth, friends, there will be lots of noise. One description of the second coming is outlined in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's been described as the noisiest verse in the Bible. God is speaking. The archangel is shouting. The trumpet is sounding. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. I want to tell you, friends, it is very difficult to imagine that great concourse of believers returning with Christ to this earth. It's very hard to imagine the billions of saints who will return with Christ staying quiet. They will first of all get a glimpse of him above the clouds. The one that they've loved and the one that they've served. They will see him. And the Bible says, when we see him, we shall be like him. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Friends, it is very difficult to imagine that procession. The billions of Christians who died down the ages. It is very difficult to imagine them staying quiet. I want to tell you, the skies will be filled with singing and praise. There will be a great burst, an anthem of praise, as the triumphal Christ returns to this earth. You know, I didn't watch it. I was travelling back up from London yesterday, and I was listening to it on the car radio. And I was listening to the singing of the Welsh anthem. And every time I hear that anthem, the hairs go up on my back. Tremendous, the whole passion of it. I want to tell you, friends, it will fade into insignificance to that day when the saints of God will accompany the Lord Jesus Christ back to this earth. Hallelujah. His coming back to earth will be a noisy affair. Hallelujah. And this is in sharp contrast to his first coming. When Jesus first came to this earth, for 9 months he was completely invisible. Hidden in the darkness of Mary's womb. Only a few close relatives of Mary knew of his existence and his presence. Remember the visit Mary had to Elizabeth? And when Mary walked in, the babe in Elizabeth's womb leapt. And Elizabeth made that great pronunciation about this child that Mary was carrying was the Son of the Most High God. Blessed are you amongst women. Blessed. But his birth was relatively unnoticed, except by a few shepherds. The only real stir happened when the wise men from the east alerted Herod to a potential rival. And when they did so, the babies 2 years of age and under were slaughtered. Angels were there to announce his first advent. The Bible says the angel of the Lord appeared to those shepherds, and then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host singing and praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men." As we have seen, angels will also be present when the Lord returns to this earth. The voice of the archangel Michael will accompany his return. All the holy angels, the Bible says, will be with him, and heaven will be emptied. When I saw this, I thought, for the first time, heaven will be empty. There's always been someone in heaven. But for the first time, when Jesus comes again, their heaven will be absolutely abandoned. It will be emptied. Because all the holy angels of God are coming with him. And then at his first coming, there was the star that announced that the King of the Jews was born. Friends, the King of the Jews was only born in Bethlehem because an emperor in Rome by the name of Caesar Augustus, he pronounced that a poll tax had to be made. And the prophecy was wonderfully fulfilled as Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem, because the prophet Micah had said, "Out of Bethlehem, though you are small amongst all the tribes of Israel, out of you shall come a ruler who shall govern my people Israel." Christ was born in Bethlehem, according to the prophetic word. Even then, friends, his cradle was an animal's feeding trough. The world at his first coming was almost totally unaware of what was happening or who would come. How silently, the carol says, isn't it? How silently the wondrous gift is given. No fanfares. A few shepherds know of it. Wise men from the east come, and then it all dies down. The wondrous gift was given in a very silent way. Let me say, friends, the second coming of Jesus Christ could not be more different. No longer will he come as a helpless babe. He will come as a mature man. He died at the age of 33. And a man who looks at the age of 33. Is anybody 33 here? Ian, stand up. There we go. 33 years of age. Don't you wish you were 33 again? Hey? What did you say? He's looked 33 for a long time. He's not 33 for long. Oh, sorry, Dorian. I thought you said he'd looked it for a long time. But a mature man will come back again, friends. This same Jesus will not return with a single star in the sky. But he will return, the Bible says, with lightning filling the sky. Flashing from the west to the east. He will come with lightning. He will return not in weakness, but in power. Not in humility as his first coming. But when he comes again, he's coming in glory. Not in meekness, but in majesty. Not as Savior, but as Judge. And the Bible says he will rule this world with a rod of iron. His second coming will cause universal awareness and instant recognition. Everybody will know who he is. Hallelujah. It will be the most public and the most publicized event in history. And my Bible tells me every eye will see him. Every person on planet Earth will see him. Every eye will see him. His saints will have got that first glimpse of him above the clouds. The rest of the inhabitants of the world will see him when he comes in glory and power. And the Jewish people, they too will see him. Because the Bible says they will look on him whom they pierced. They too will recognize him now as their Messiah and coming King. Friends, Jesus is returning to this world as a conquering king. And he will save his people Israel. He's coming as he really is. The world last saw him crucified. Now they will see him crowned. Hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords. And at last, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Hallelujah. Friends, he's coming to reign. He's coming to rule. That's how he will come. The second question is, when will he come? When is the second coming of Jesus Christ going to take place? How much longer do we have to wait? If we knew the answer to that question, we would be the possessor of the greatest secret in this world. No one knows, the Bible says, the day or the hour except God himself. Even Jesus, when he was on earth, he didn't know the time he would return. Thank God he knows now. He's seated by the right hand of God the Father. He told his disciples they wouldn't be able to find out when he was going to return. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed in his authority. We are going to ask two questions as we deal with when he will return. And the first one is this. Will his coming again be sudden? Totally unexpected? Or will there be indications that he is coming again? His impending return. If we can't have the correct exact date, can we work out an approximate one when Jesus will return? Will we have any warnings of his coming? His approach to this earth? The New Testament appears to give two contradictory answers to these questions. Yes, there will be warnings. And no, there will not be warnings. It will be sudden and unexpected. So that seems a contradiction, doesn't it? one hand, yes, there will be warnings. On the other hand, his coming will be sudden and unexpected. Let me explain. There are passages, and we've read one this morning, that refer to the second coming of Christ as a coming that will be unexpected and unnoticed. The reference is, he will come as a thief in the night. His coming, in other words, a thief doesn't announce his coming. He comes suddenly, unexpected, when people are not expecting it to happen. Revelation 16, verse 15, he says, "Behold, I am coming as a thief." His coming will be sudden, suddenly, when they say peace and safety, suddenly, suddenly, it will take place. Since the essence of successful burglary is surprise, the implication is that there will be no warning of his coming. Not even any indication that he's near. It will happen just like that. According to this view, Jesus can return at any moment. If we believe that Jesus can come suddenly, unexpectedly, we may not see this service out. Because the Lord could come before the benediction's announced. And we could be gone. On the other hand, there are other passages of Scripture that speak of events preceding his return. Things that have to happen. Signals that will be given. Signs that will be given. Announcing that he is right at the door. Ready once again to step onto the stage of history one more time. Signs and signals that will speak of his coming again. We'll look at the next message more fuller on the signs that will accompany his return. But consistent with these signs, there are the frequent exhortations in the Bible to watch when you see these things happening. So watch as well as pray for his return. When the disciples asked Jesus what would be the signs of his coming, he gave them specific details of things that would be taking place on this earth prior to his second coming. The practical implication of what Jesus said to them is this, that he cannot, nor will he return until we see all these things. Matthew 24:33, "So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors." So what does this mean? It means that we cannot expect him at any moment. Or even in the immediate future. Every generation of believers, they can hope that the coming of the Lord will be in their lifetime. And friends, I said it last time, and I want to say it again. We are the first generation to really live with the possibility that we could be well alive when the Lord returns again. There has never been a day like this day. I think since the last time I spoke, when we talked about the signs, or the first time we spoke, when we talked about the earthquakes and the things that were happening, friends, I want to tell you, in just a short space of time, how things have escalated. The world is in a boiling pot. The Middle East is a flame of fire. We are living in tremendous times. The earthquake in Japan. Last time I spoke about the earthquakes, Japan hadn't happened. And now, friends, we've got that horrendous earthquake and tsunami in Japan. We are living in perilous times. We are living in the closing days of time. And we could be well alive when Jesus comes back again. And so we have this tension between these two strands running through Scripture about the return of Christ. On one strand, you've got this sudden, unexpected coming again of the Lord, where he will come as a thief and he will come and take people unaware. On the other hand, we've got this other strand that speaks to us of signs that must happen before Christ returns. There are those who take this any moment position. And you might be here this morning, and there was a few amens when I said Christ could come before we finished here this morning. You might take that any moment position, that Jesus Christ could come at any moment. There are others who believe and are looking for signs that will announce that the coming of the Saviour is near, even at the door. Then there are believers who believe that his coming will be in two parts. When the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, he will come back into the air. He will not be seen on the earth. And the rapture will take place. Those who sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. They will meet them in the air. The dead in Christ will rise, will meet them in the air. And there are those who believe that his coming will be secret and unexpected. He will return for his bride. Christians will disappear and will be taken to heaven until the signs that Jesus spoke about come to pass on the earth. So many people believe in a secret rapture, in a secret coming again. That after the rapture's taken place, that the saints go back to heaven with the Lord Jesus while the signs on earth begin to be worked out before he returns publicly to this earth. The second part of his coming would be public, with the preceding signs to establish his kingdom. I asked last time, I talked, if you can remember, about pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation. The pre-tribulation people believe that Jesus is going to come prior to the tribulation taking place. The mid-tribulation believe that in this seven-year period, somewhere in the middle of it, 3.5 years, the rapture will take place. Then there are the post-tribulation people who believe that the church, the saints of God, will go through the tribulation before the rapture. And I don't know what camp you're in, but let me tell you what camp I'm in. I believe, you mightn't agree with me, I hope I'm wrong, but I believe that the church will see those days on the earth called the tribulation. And Jesus will come again at the end of that period. This theory of his coming in two parts, It first gained popularity as late as 1830. Before 1830, it was totally accepted by the church from the apostles that Christians would go through the rapture, would go through the tribulation. But as late as 1830, this new strand of belief began to be voiced, and today it is widely accepted by many believers. This theory of a secret coming that teaches that believers will be raptured out of the earthly scene before they can watch for the signs of his coming, called the Great Tribulation. Friends, I believe there is a much more simpler and more scriptural way of understanding this paradox between a sudden return as a thief and a return where we see the signs. And it's this. There will not be two comings, but there will be two groups of people at the one coming. Jesus himself compared the day of his return with the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days of Noah they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, God shut the door, and the flood came upon them unawares. But Noah and his household were saved. The majority of mankind prior to the flood were totally unaware of the impending disaster that was going to happen. And yet they need not have been. Because God told Noah to build this boat. He built it in the middle of a desert. People had never seen rain. Noah built this boat, and the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. And for 100 years, he proclaimed of God's judgment that was coming on the earth. For 100 years, he spoke about the coming judgment of God. And the Bible says people scoffed. They took no notice whatsoever in his message. Until the flood came without any warning, and they were destroyed. Yet Noah and seven others with him were ready. They knew what was coming, and they knew it couldn't happen until the ark was built. And until the ark was completed, they knew it couldn't take place. Those who ignored and disbelieved the signs were completely taken by surprise. This dual response runs right through the New Testament passages. To unbelievers, friends, the arrival of Jesus will be a dreadful shock to them. He will appear as a thief in the night. His return will be sudden and unexpected. Listen to what the Bible says, what we read here this morning. Concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. So to the world, his coming will be totally unexpected, unannounced. He will appear as a thief. However, believers won't be surprised when the Lord returns. Believers will be like the householder who heard that the burglar was coming. They stayed awake, keeping watch about the signs that were approaching on the earth. Listen to what the Bible says again. Paul had this revelation, friends. It wasn't, please understand, he didn't get this from man. He talks about a time he was caught up into the third heaven, and he heard things there, and things were revealed to him that only God could know. And I believe some of Paul's teaching in Thessalonians is about this revelation that he had. He talks in the first three verses, but you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief. Suddenly. But he goes on to say this. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Have you got it? To the world, he will come as a thief. But he's talking now to Christians, and he says, but for you, this day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Like the man who knew that the burglar was coming, stay wide awake. Stay alert. Keep watching for the approaching signs. God's word encourages us and exhorts us with repeated warnings to be self-disciplined, to be alert, lest we fall into the world's stupor and be caught out ourselves. So what are the signs of his coming? What are we watching for? What are the events particularly that we have to take notice of as we read the newspapers and watch the TV? Friends, we've got so many clues that are scattered through the Bible. In the New Testament, in Matthew, Mark and Luke, we've got a lot of them. We've got more in Paul's epistles, more in his letters, particularly his letter of the first and second to the Thessalonian Christians. We've got a lot of clues in there. And we've got a great deal in the book of Revelation. Friends, let me say, we are not short of clues what to watch for. The problem is, how does it all fit together? Where do the pieces of the jigsaw fit in? You know, when you do a jigsaw, you've got to have the lid before you can begin to start. Thank God, friends, the Bible is our lid. And as we look into the Word of God, we can begin to see where the picture begins to fit. Where it all begins to come together. What to watch for. The disciples once asked Jesus this very same question that we're asking. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? The answer Jesus gave is recorded in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Unfortunately, they asked another question at the very same time they asked that. When they asked, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? In the same sentence, they asked him another question about the temple. When would Jesus' prediction about the destruction of the temple come true? Jesus answered both queries together. He was talking about the end of the age, and he was also answered them about the destruction of the temple. So that the events of AD 70 blended with the signs of his second coming. It will be the same time. Little giving any thought that people have bundled these into one, giving little thought that what Jesus was speaking about would be 20 centuries apart from each other. The destruction of the temple took place in AD 70. And not one stone was left upon another. When he talked about the end and the things that would precede the end, he wasn't talking about the events of 70 AD. It's in Matthew that we find the clearest outline of Christ's return. It's a fourfold framework of future events into which all the other information can be inserted. Once you've got hold of these four major signs, this fourfold framework, you can begin to piece all the other things into it. We'll look at that more fully as we bring the next message. This morning, friends, we've asked two questions. How will he come? And when will he come? The question I want to ask you this morning is this. Are you ready for the return of Christ? Are you like the bridegroom who's got his lamp, the lamps trimmed and burning, watching, waiting for the bridegroom to come? Or are you like the five foolish ones who knew that the bridegroom was coming and yet they did nothing about it? They took no oil for their lamps. And the bridegroom came. Five were ready, prepared, and five were unprepared. Friends, there's only one way you could be ready for Jesus coming again. Jesus outlined it to a religious ruler when he said, you must be born again. You must be born again. The only way that you can be ready for Jesus coming again is to be born by the Spirit of God from above. To have Jesus Christ to come and live in your life. To cleanse your heart from sin. To purify you. To give you a new heart and a new spirit. And to give you a brand new life. Where all things will pass away and everything becomes new. You cannot be born again by coming to a church service, by sitting, listening, or singing songs. The only way you can be born again is by repenting, by turning from sin and turning to God and saying, I realize you died not only for the world, but you died for me. This morning, I've been trying to share truth with you. And the Bible says it's the truth that sets us free. And I believe, friends, as we share truth together this morning, you know now of events that are going to happen to this world that, let me tell you, the greatest brains in the world know nothing about. God has hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. He's revealed them unto babes. Friends, the Word of God is full of announcements proclaiming that Jesus is coming again. I wonder this morning, are you ready? Christian, this morning, are you playing the fool? Are you gone back into a stupor of sleep where you're no longer watching and waiting and expecting and looking for the coming again of the Lord? The Bible says, if we've got this hope in us of Christ coming again, we will keep ourselves pure. We will live a right life if we know that Jesus is coming again. Friends, he's coming for a bride without spot and without blemish. He's coming for a beautiful bride. And this morning, you are either part of that bride or you're not. Let's pray together.